there was a fire and it triggered this manic episode. I happened to not be on lithium at the time.
This is Jamie Lowe. She's manic, and this is one of her worst memories.
I was convinced that I had to produce and execute this elaborate and enormous First Amendment rights, we are the world type benefit concert.
There comes a time.
Hi!
When we heed a sign.
The problem is there was no concert, no benefit, nothing except in Jamie's mind. But that didn't stop her calling and visiting music executives, trying to book concert venues and print posters. Talk about embarrassing.
I didn't feel any humiliation in it, but I think in retrospect, when I came to the realization that that probably wasn't something that was appropriate or gonna happen, I was like, I'm not sure why I showed up in all of those people's offices randomly while I was kind of this raving lunatic. It doesn't sound like a real manic thing or even particularly destructive, but when I think about that, I want to crawl under a table.
Jamie tells this story and more in a new memoir called Mental: Lithium, Love, and Losing My Mind. Charles Monroe Cain shares the same mental illness, so his first question to Jamie, why would you go off your meds?
Twofold. I didn't think I was manic, so I was like, I don't need those still. This is amazing. Why would I ever take them? I was trying to generate this whole thing for the First Amendment rights, you know, free world, right, whatever, concert that nobody was actually engaged in except for me. I just was like wandering the city and felt like I was experiencing life in this amazing way. And that was the good side.
Were you?
Yeah.
You were experiencing life in a good way. It was awesome, right?
It was. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing that can top what being manic feels like. And that's kind of the worst part of it.
Right.
I mean, it's like this, it's a mind f-. I mean, you're totally not in this world, and you're completely, It's like I think about it longingly sometimes, but I know what happens next, and that's the worst part, and it's so destructive and so difficult, and I think about my family, I think about my loved ones now, and I'm like, you know, would never wish for it, but it's a lot like addiction, it's a lot like that kind of mentality where you get that high and you're just like, why would I let this go?
You know, one thing that happens is drugs. Just so many pharmaceutical medications to experiment with and take, and the psychiatrist tries this. Have you done like all of them? Like, have you just tried a million different meds?
I haven't.
Oh, you haven't?
No. Lithium was always like the one soulmate true love drug. And I just stayed on it until I was 25, so that was like 7 or 8 years.
And now you're on this med that kind of works. You got a supportive family. You're pretty young. Why'd you quit? Why'd you stop taking them, man?
Well, it's easy to think, A, that you're young when you're 25, when you're actually 25. It was fine. I was in my early 20s. I was drinking a lot, probably too much. I was eating a lot of egg and cheese sandwiches. I basically felt like I had a normal life, and I had this relationship with a psychiatrist who I'd been seeing for a couple of years in New York, and we kind of had talked about, well, maybe that was a one-time thing that I had this really severe manic episode, and maybe it's not something I need. And when you're faced with the question of, do I need this, or can I function just on my own without a medication, your body, your mind, and your soul wants to believe I can be just me without it. It wasn't because lithium was bad. It was because I just was thinking maybe I didn't need it.
Which makes sense because you were feeling fine.
Right, because of the lithium.
That's the thing, right?
Right.
Hey, you write something in the book, And I find this extremely profound, this statement. I want to read it to you that you wrote. The further away you get from it all, the less intense the memory. And I thought, bam, that's why we quit taking it.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're a grown up. I'm a grown up. We both take meds. How do you remember why to stay on now?
Why do I stay on it now? Well, sometimes I think I shouldn't, which is the wrong thing to think, I would say. And sometimes I think that, I don't know. It's a tough question, but I feel like I need it. I have people who tell me, who I trust and love, who tell me I need it, and I believe them. And I just feel like, you know, I'm in this stable, loving relationship that I really cherish, and I have a home that I also love in Flatbush, Brooklyn, and I feel like I can focus on writing pretty well, and that my life is really, really good, and I'm lucky, and I don't want it to get psycho, for lack of a better word.
No, psycho is the great word, man. But I feel like in the back of my head, there's a special me, and he gets dampened by lithium. And it's society's fault that they can't accept me, the shaman of the tribe. You know what I mean? Did you ever feel that way?
So, you know, I'm going to rely on a crutch here. I'm going to rely on Chris Gethard, who is a comedian who says basically that the myth of the musician or the artist who can only rely on being crazy to be real and to create is just that it's a myth, and that you can't actually wake up and function without the medication. And so you can't be a comedian if you don't have that medication to be that person. And I would say that, you know, I throw it back to you and just say that you are who you are because of the medication, because you're allowed to function. And that the special you, who I know what you're talking about, right, and I miss that person too, that person can't exist for more than like 8 days. And that's not a life.
You know, Jamie, clearly lithium worked for you, but at the same time, it was also slowly destroying your kidneys. I mean, your kidney health issues were getting worse and worse and worse. And eventually you had to quit lithium or risk complete renal failure. What happened?
It wasn't so sudden. I knew that my kidneys were going slowly south and that was a result of the lithium. And it was something that I monitored with my psychiatrist. You know, I'm not the best at doing blood work. I try really hard to do it regularly, but I think it was terrifying in that just the idea of having to find a new medication is just really scary.
No, I know. But you have this pill that you've been taking since you've been 16 off and on that really meant a lot to you, lithium. You knew your body couldn't take it anymore. Your kidneys couldn't handle it anymore. So you had to say goodbye to it, right? How did you say goodbye to lithium?
No, I didn't do the proper goodbye. I wanted to do something nice for lithium because it was a good thing for me, even though it kind of busted my kidneys. But I think, well, I guess, you know what? I'm going to take that back. I think this book is like a big tribute to lithium. So I thought a lot about it, and I wrote a lot about it, and this is a little bit of a love song to it, I hope. Because even though we had like a tragic parting, it really gave me a lot of years of great life, and I am so grateful for that. But I did kind of want to have some weird shamanistic ceremony secretly, but I didn't. I was spent, and by the time I was at the end of the lithium, I kind of was like, peace out, bye, later.
Later, lithium. Later, right. LI3, sup.
Exactly.
Hey, can you do me a favor? Can you do a reading for me from your book? It's on 284.
Yes. Who am I in relationship to the medication, to the disease, to my experience? How did lithium shape me? It gave me 24 years of sanity, to live, to grow, to love, to flourish, and to fail. But here's the thing. I'm among the 1% of the mentally ill. I'm the luckiest mentally ill person. I'm the mentally illest. I was lucky. I have a family that supports me and understands me. Most don't. I was lucky. I was born into a family with enough money that I knew I would be financially supported if absolutely necessary, and I would have health coverage no matter what. Most people can't afford a Band-Aid and a neck brace. I was lucky. When my life burned down, my industry, family, and friends forgave me and helped me rebuild. I was lucky. I had several psychiatrists walk me through this shit. Most people don't even get a social worker. I was lucky. My kidney is degenerating. I really almost got through it.
It's okay.
Okay. My kidney is degenerating, but Dr. Lane and Dr. Schwartz caught it in time, and Dr. DeVita is nursing it along. Some people lose their kidney function altogether. I was lucky. I was lucky. I get to experience all of life, one I would never trade for normal, whatever that is. I'm lucky. Not everyone is.
That's Jamie Lowe talking with Charles Monroe Kane. They've each written memoirs about living with mania. Jamie's is called Mental, Lithium, Love, and Losing My Mind. And Charles's is called Lithium, Jesus.